You're listening to the Lovish Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. Each week, I'm going to help you to develop the belief and strategy necessary to make an immediate impact on the world by deep diving into topics like mental wellness, faith, relationships, and you guessed it, love. I should mention before we hop into the show, this is not a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. You ready? Let's get it. Welcome back for another episode of the Lovish Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. What is in your mug this week? This week in my mug, we have the Nespresso Special Edition Coconut Coffee. Now, that might sound weird to y'all, but I promise it is so good. Literally so good. Nespresso releases, I think, seasonal coffees or like special edition coffees. And I love that. I miss the Sunny Almond for my Nespresso lovers. Let me know if you've tried the Sunny Almond and what is it giving. But that's the coconut flavor that is here for the summer, and I am loving it. You're supposed to brew it over ice. It's literally perfect. How are you doing today? How are you doing mentally and physically? I'm doing well. Life is trying to kick my butt with these kids home for the summer. Let me just tell you that. Okay. Life is really trying. Okay. How are you navigating through the summer? I would love to know. I'm super excited to talk about this week's topic. And I have a question for you. Have you ever driven home from a friend's house and on the way home, you just kind of get the ick? You notice that your relationships just aren't meshing like they used to. And you just are not feeling the same way that you felt around that person. You can't put your finger on it, and it's kind of giving the ick, and you are not really sure how you feel about it. Well, you might have simply outgrown the relationship. Your expectations might have shifted. That person's expectations might have shifted, but things are just kind of out of alignment. Another topic you guys voted for on my Instagram stories was friendship at different stages of life. Now, I want to be clear. These different stages could mean that you're 27 and your friend is 35. That's different stages of life. But what we're going to focus on for this particular episode is where you should actually be focusing your attention throughout the different stages of your life, regardless of how old either of you are. So let's just jump right on in. I want to introduce you to the FAB formula. The FAB formula for friendships. It is very, very simple formula, and I don't want you to overcomplicate it. We are aware something is happening in our relationships, but maybe we're not really cued into what is happening. So here's the very simple three-step formula for figuring out and developing fabulous friendships. One, filter. Two, adapt. Three, balance. Fabulous. Okay. So in the filter stage, we are doing exactly what it sounds like, filtering out relationships that are out of alignment with us and what we need. We essentially need to make sure that these are high quality, nurturing relationships, not relationships that are perfect. We still want people that are going to hold us accountable. I mean, we're not asking for somebody that always scratches our backs and tell us like, oh my gosh, you're doing such a great job. You can do no wrong, Bookie. Like, no, we want people that are gonna be real with us, but we want high quality people that are invested in us. And so the first part of the FAB formula is filtering out who those people are. And the second part of the formula is adapt. And it's just like it sounds, in the adapt stage, we are inviting flexibility into the relationship. So this means that we're opening ourselves up to alternative perspectives, and we're giving grace to people because life happens to everybody. And I know that we all think our own individual story is the only story that matters, but that's simply not true. And so the adapt phase leaves room for both of you to grow in life, for both of your stories to matter. And finally, we enter the balanced stage. Our focus is on maintaining strong relationships. How do we maintain and continuously cultivate friendships? What do we do to intentionally nurture the relationship? That's what we're focused on. So let's dive into childhood friendships and what to look for at this stage. Some characteristics of a healthy childhood friendship look like playfulness, simplicity, innocence. There is a genuine concern and care for one another. These people feel safe to the child, or if we're going back to you and your childhood, you felt safe in these relationships. So I want you to think about those relationships that made you feel safe. You didn't have to second guess your position in their life, and you didn't have to tap dance in order to fit in. You were just a kid and you felt accepted and valued and loved. These relationships were the ones that shaped who you ultimately became and how you function today. So how you see the world, these relationships are the ones that helped you understand social interactions and read social cues as the adult that you are today. So a note on how you might want to help your kiddos navigate through their relationships. I teach the relationship ranking system in my programs, and I think that we should be teaching kids this really, really early. Rather than telling them that somebody is a bad friend, we should be teaching them what to look for when people are not invested in them or when they don't have their best interest in mind. That is a more valuable lesson and one they can use for life. Because let's think about it. How many times have you told your kid not to do something? Forbidden fruit always looks juicy, honey. It always looks juicy. It's like, ooh, I need a bite of that. Even if you don't actually want a bite of it, just because you know you can't have it, you want to go after it. So us saying, hey, that might not be the best friend for you. That might not be the, rather than teaching them what to look for, actually sometimes can make them be more drawn to people that are not good for them. But if you teach them the characteristics of what you should feel like and look for in those relationships, it works for kids and for adults. And teaching kids emotional safety early so that they can more effectively navigate through their relationships. So, tips for navigating and maintaining relationships at this stage. Of course, with kids, it's out of sight, out of mind. So the closest relationships are typically the ones who they have the most contact with. Encouraging play dates or social time is crucial for development. If you think about some of your closest relationships, they probably were encouraged and nurtured because of the proximity, because there was a lot of contact with the other kid. So social time, play time is very crucial. And when kids get into it with each other or they get upset, teach them healthy conflict resolution skills. Even if you get triggered by something, that's done because, I mean, you know, these kids are ruthless, okay? And when I say these kids, I'm talking about all kids because our own kid can be a little bit of extra now. It can be extra, and we would want somebody to look at our kid objectively as well. So remembering that these are just kids and they're still developing character and personality. So teaching them conflict resolution skills and compromise is really healthy. And for those of us that have a little bit of guilt about the type of friend that you were as a kid or in high school, I want you to decide today to let it go because you were just a kid. You were feeling your way through social interactions and social relationships to figure out what worked best for you. How do I navigate through this world? And you made some mistakes along the way, and that's okay. The mistakes that you made were more than likely age-appropriate mistakes due to the circumstances and situations that you were placed in. So we can release the guilt that you might have of past incidents, past things that happen. Doesn't matter here. We are all good. So the last tip that I have for navigating through this stage is modeling healthy friendships. I'ma just say it. If you a butthole, your kid likely gonna be a butthole. if you are kind and giving and caring, your kid is likely going to be kind and giving and caring. And I don't know if y'all have seen that meme floating around on social media that's like, we wonder where our kids get so much attitude from. And the truth is, issue, sis. Issue. They got it from you. They got it from you. The basis of their characteristics and their personality come from you. Because again, proximity, you're the one that they spend the most time with. Okay, so let's take a second and apply the FAB formula here. The filter, guiding children to choose friends who share similar values and interests by helping them figure out what they like without telling them. Adapt, teaching children to be flexible and open to new friendships, understanding that as a child, friends may come and go, and that's okay. And then balance, helping children to balance playtime with their friends and their other responsibilities like school and family. Okay, our next point that we want to talk about is transitional adult friendships. I think there are several stages of adulthood, but when I think about transitional adulthood, I think about early adulthood and where there tends to be more life transitions. So let's say late teens, like 18 on up to around maybe 30, somewhere in the 30s. This is where I think it's the most challenging to navigate friendships. Because the characteristics you see here are huge life transitions, like college, babies, moving to different states, different lifestyle choices, branching out to join religions, or dropping religion altogether. And it's crazy how much change comes at this particular stage of transitional life. And so this is where friendships can really, really be tested, because people have different interests. And when people decide to change their life or be somebody else or drop a religion or live a different lifestyle or whatever you want to say, sometimes in the relationship, you can get offended by that. And you wonder, well, where does that leave me? Where is my place in your life if this is what you're choosing to do? And I am not choosing to do that. And it is possible to maintain a friendship when you live a different lifestyle, but it just takes more intentionality. But this stage in particular requires so much intentionality in building friendships, because it's easy to have your friendships fall through the cracks or just fall to the back burner. Like becoming a new mom, that's easy. Becoming or getting married, right? I talk to my clients about perfect wife syndrome, which is where it's really easy for you to get caught up in what you perceive the actions of a perfect wife are. And when you get caught up in what you perceive the actions of a perfect wife are, then that can cause you to neglect some of your old relationships. And so this is where, unfortunately, in doing that, a lot of people learn depression and anxiety are very real things. And maybe they don't really know how to cope because you've cut yourself off from your social circle. This could also be where adults are transitioning to become caregivers for their parents, which definitely changes your life perspective. In this stage, you could bond over shared interests, over career goals, depending on like where both of you are at, and personal growth goals. Like, let's say, easiest one off the top of my head, working out, going to the gym, something like that. So tips for navigating through this transitional stage is going to be proactive in establishing new relationships. And I know that that seems counterintuitive, but I promise it's not. Because believe it or not, new relationships can enhance your old ones. You gain perspective from new relationships. And we always talk about where to meet new people, the gym, social clubs, or interest groups like book club or learning to golf, or if you love to golf, going golfing. Like whatever you're into, find an interest group for that. And that's how you're probably going to meet people that you have a lot in common with. So not being afraid to establish those new relationships so that you can learn alternative perspectives. Work at maintaining long distance relationships in creative ways. Last week, we talked about creative ways to bring technology into your relationship to strengthen the bond. Again, I want to highlight video calls, social media, and don't be afraid to schedule video calls. We good and grown, okay? We got schedules, we got responsibilities. It's okay to schedule in time for your friend. Just because somebody has a jam-packed schedule doesn't mean that they don't want to hang out with you. It just requires a little bit more oomph behind it. And I think the thing that causes the stress is finding the balance. And I want to encourage you to regularly look at your responsibilities and find the balance, okay? You have to prioritize time with your friends. It's vital for your growth. Okay, let's apply the FAB formula. Filter. Be selective in this stage about who you're spending time with, focusing on people who support your goals and your values, because this transitional stage can be super challenging. Adapt. Be open to meeting new people and forming new friendships in different environments, because this can expose you to a new way of life and help you to grow. And then balance, managing your time effectively to nurture your friendships while also balancing your career, your personal growth, and other responsibilities. Make sure that your relationships have an appropriate amount of time, not neglecting your responsibilities, but also not neglecting your relationships. It's about finding the perfect schedule or the perfect area to teeter in, your optimal level of functioning here. And finally, the characteristics of adult friendships, which is 30s and beyond. Wow, that we the new to adults. That's so wild. I know. Yikes. Okay. So some characteristics that you're going to find in these relationships. These relationships are, I would say, primarily characterized by mutual respect and love for one another. And the reason I have to say 30s and beyond is because I think some people are more mature in their 20s, but really by the time you hit 30 though, come on now, you should have some level of mutual respect and maturity, because you should have done some introspective work. You should be taking the time to be self-aware at this stage. And people who are invested in their growth are doing that by this stage. So these relationships are characterized by mutual respect and love for one another. You have to understand that people have lives and careers and families, and you can't take that personal if they can't meet you at the bar every other night or sync schedules and do absolutely everything together, or you live maybe 20, 30 minutes away and you can't get together as often as you used to. But instead of feeling a way about that, you are cheering and rooting for each other, whether you get invited to the celebration dinner or not. See why I said that take a level of maturity? Because sometimes you're not going to get an invite, and it's not going to be anything personal against you. It's just you didn't get an invite, but I still love you. I still care about you. You're still very important in my life. So in this stage, you might also rediscover old relationships that you lost when you were in a transitional period. And I want to be clear, that transitional adulthood, yeah, I'm thinking about the 18 to 30s, but like it could also hit a little bit later. Because let's say that you hit 40s and now you become the caregiver for your parents, or there's just a lot more required of you in that stage. That's still transitional adulthood. So I think that even though I'm putting like an age range on it, you can bounce between transitional adulthood and adulthood friendships, right? Like friendships in adulthood. So in this adulthood, regular adulthood stage, you might rediscover relationships that you lost when you were in a transitional period. Your hangout spots might shift from going to the club to going to brunches and spas, okay? You will most likely value quality time over the quantity of time that is spent, because you understand the demands of life in this stage. Okay, so tips for navigating through this stage of life. I can't say it enough. Schedule regular interactions. Y'all be acting like y'all hate schedules. You hate time and you hate that. No, schedules are your friends. Schedules enforce boundaries in a good way. Schedules keep you safe. And if you're off of your schedule a little bit, that's also okay. But schedule regular interactions. And this could be quarterly, it could be yearly, it could be weekly, it could be daily, it could be however frequent you need it to be. But make room for them or the relationship will slip away. I don't care what you say, it's going to slip away if you do not make time for it. And you want to focus on building deeper, more intentional relationships at this stage. We are beyond the surface level interactions at this stage, because at this stage, again, we've reached a level of maturity. And so we're likely looking for people to partner with us for either a particular season or for life to keep moving forward. Let's apply the FAB formula. Again, filter. Focus on deep, meaningful relationships with friends who truly enrich your life. So in this stage, you are likely filtering out, again, those surface level friendships to the ones who wholeheartedly are invested in you, and discovering how you can make those relationships even better. Be flexible and understanding of each other's time commitments and life changes and challenges. Again, this is the stage where many of us become the primary caregivers of kids and even parents, or both at once. And that can be extremely overwhelming. So we have to be mindful of that and be willing to adapt if it's a relationship that we really, really value. Finally, balance. Again, the balance is scheduling regular catch-ups and making time for friends, regardless of your busy schedules. You got to make it happen if this is a relationship that you value. So I would encourage you to work through this formula for yourself after you decide what stage of life you're actually in and go from there. Okay, let's talk about the dynamics of a 25-year-old woman being friends with, let's say, a 37-year-old woman. Both people have to be understanding in the different life stages and perspectives. Like, the 37-year-old has to understand that the 25-year-old still does have value, and the 25-year-old has to understand that the 37-year-old still has value and perspective, and both perspectives are relevant and important. And I think you see these age differences when you're dealing with people that are mature. I know that I meet a lot of mature people because this is how I was, like 20s, and had like 35-year-old friends or whatever, because that's where my mental status was. I wasn't on the same things that 20-year-olds were on. I was thinking about things from a different perspective. And so these relationships do actually come with some benefits, like potential mentorship, officially or unofficially, different viewpoints. You know, let's say that the 37-year-old has a teenager, and of course, this 20-something-year-old just got done being a teenager, so they can provide a little bit of perspective there and added support, more or less. It could be financial, or it could be showing you how to get through different phases. Like, if somebody had to plan a wedding and the 37-year-old got married a while ago, or career advice, different things like that. And so some tips for, we'll call it age diverse friendships, is respect each other's experiences. You have to acknowledge and appreciate the unique perspectives and experiences that each of you brings to the table. And you have to communicate openly. You should discuss the expectations, boundaries, and how you can support each other. Open communication is key to understanding and respect. When I was in my early 20s, I was friends with somebody in their 30s, and they had kids and all these different responsibilities that I didn't have yet. And so I had to be really understanding about how she spent her time and how available she was to me in the relationship, and even what we chose to do when we hung out. 90% of the time, it included the kids, and I had to be okay with that. And I didn't have a problem with that at all. So we just have to remember to communicate and respect each other. And then finding common interests, engaging in activities and discussions that both people enjoy that can bridge the gap through shared interests and hobbies. And so one of the shared interests that we had, or actually two of them, was reading and running, right? So we would run along the lakefront in Chicago quite often. And that was one of our friendship rituals that was super fun. And I will always cherish that.
It's time to talk about what I've been loving. Product recommendations, shout outs to family and friends, and overall gratitude. Let's get into it.
Welcome back for another What I've Been Loving. This week, I have been loving the beauty of the weather. I am not necessarily a huge summer person, but I have been loving the breeze, and it hasn't been like super hot. It's been hot, but also because we've been having like thunderstorms on and off, it's been, I think, manageable. And I've been doing a good job, I think, navigating through high temps. But I've been enjoying like sitting out and walking and getting out and going to the park and stuff with the kids because of the beautiful weather that we've been having. What have you been loving this week? If you enjoyed today's episode, share the love. Share with your mama, share with your auntie, share with your best friend. Then head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Reviews help the podcast to grow. Well, that's all I have for you this week. I'll see you out in these social media streets. Bye.